There are monsters under the bed, they say. They're out to grind your bones. A trick to keep children tucked away. A fear to face alone. There are monsters under the bed, they say. But what do they really know? If you're looking under the bed today, how will you know where else they grow? An actual play podcast made with actual asexuals. Ellie, I have no idea if you normally join in the whams or not, but I whammed anyway.
I don't usually, but you can do whatever you like, my man, my girl. It's freestyle.
I know someone who didn't join in with the whams, but it's a secret surprise for later.
Blasphemy.
Ooh, what could it be?
I wonder who it could be.
Surprise tool that will help us later. No, wait, that sounds like an insult. It was not intended to be.
We are a group of people who identify somewhere on the asexual and or aromantic spectrum, playing, well, not today, but usually we play D&D 5th edition with a twist, where each character's past, present and future is decided by a card drawn from the deck of many things.
That was beautiful.
But today, we're not playing D&D. We're going to be playing Monster of the Week. And so cool. I am your keeper. It's me, Chloe. I use she, her pronouns. And with me today is...
Hello. Sorry, I thought you were going to say I have. I was caught off guard. Hello.
Not quite.
My name is Am. I use she, her pronouns, and despite the changing system, I am still playing Tosia Atherdale.
Yeah!
Chosen. Who also uses she, her pronouns, but unlike our main campaign, it's she's just a wee 15 years old. She's a scrappy little teenager.
Baby Tos.
A child! A child.
A child.
A child.
And everyone thinks of the exact same vine.
Which we are not allowed to repeat on the podcast.
Yeah. Okay, every time this happens, every time I am not the DM, I don't know when I go. So
it's
do
you
I
next,
go?
Because that puts a certain individual at the end, so...
We never decide it.
No.
We're at alphabetical order.
Ariel's next in the alphabet.
It's in the order on the Discord.
Oh, I hate that. No, it's not!
Except it's not, because Ellie's name is not Ellie.
Right? No, it's not, because Ellie's wrong! Why do you do this? Sorry. Anyway.
Okay.
Hello, I am Ariel, and I am playing Isla Ainsley.
Ooh.
Who is... are we saying playbooks now, or are we doing that?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
I said mine.
I am playing The Searcher. Isla is very interested in cryptids and thinks that they're really cool and wants to find them and go out into the world, and occasionally gets into... bad situations because of them wanting to find crypto.
Hey,
that sounds on brand for you. Hi, I'm Ellie. I use she, her, or they, them pronouns. I don't know what order I'm supposed to be doing things in because I'm not usually a player, but today I am playing Seamus the Constructed. Seamus uses all pronouns, and they are a warforged, which I don't think we've had any Warforged in the campaign thus far, so I'm very excited to be bringing one in.
The secret law.
The secret law. It's not like a secret, it's just law. Seamus is a... the Warforged were created about, in campaign time, about 15, 20 years ago. So Seamus is very, very young Warforged, part of like a new species, and he's very kind of influenced by that. He ran away from home and found his way to Gaimarus, and now it's ready to fight some monsters with kindness and also a big sword.
That makes it me next, right?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Katie. I use she or they pronouns, and today I'm playing Rupert. Rupert, I does not currently have a last name because I didn't write one down.
A mood.
And
Seamus
Rupert,
doesn't have a last name, but that's because it wasn't given one.
Oh, so edgy.
I know.
A mononym like Beyonce.
Rupert doesn't use their last name because of plausible deniability reasons.
I love that. That's their government name.
Yeah. Rupert uses they or them pronouns, and I don't know why I said they or them. They and them. And
no, only one.
Their playbook is the Flake, which is like the conspiracy theorist. And Rupert has a newsletter that they very, very dedicatedly compile. It's definitely reliable journalism.
We love to see it. But not only do we have our wonderful, wonderful players here, it wouldn't be complete if we did something rogue without a special guest.
Special guest. Who could it possibly be?
Would you like to introduce yourself?
I think special guest is beating me up a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Hello. I am well. I am playing Tozia's brother.
Oh.
I'm playing Tozia's brother, Tor Anor Atherdale, who uses he, him pronouns, much like me. I also use he, him pronouns. I forgot to do that bit. And he is the initiate. So hello, I'll be joining for this little bit.
Yes,
I Rupert's a Loxodon.
Yeah.
Yes.
I believe we are all Loxodons except for
Seamus.
It's very Scooby-Doo. Five teens in their role.
Yeah.
Four teens in their role. Sorry.
Yeah.
A fifth secret team joins the fold.
The robot is also a teen. No, wait. Is the robot still like 12?
The robot is a tween.
Adorable.
Tween robot.
She's an adorable baby.
Everybody is essentially teenagers, whether they are literally teenagers or not in this game.
Spiritually teenagers.
Yeah.
So, shall we get started?
Yes! I'm so excited. I haven't not DM'd on this in such a long time, so I'm feeling like so super thrown, but I'm like, what's gonna happen? Also, I do not remember how to play Monster of the Week, so I'm gonna need a lot of coaching, but that's okay.
If it makes you feel better, neither do I, it's fine. And I have run it many times.
Sweet.
So, we're gonna start. Unsurprisingly, as you may have already guessed, in the city of Gaimarus. As dawn breaks over the city, it stands mighty, seemingly immovable. Though the presence of its jointed legs and immense gears, the giant hoof prints behind it, and the fact that an equally large city stands right next to it suggests otherwise. The hauler has come to a stop next to the city of Vecena, which is a predominantly human settlement built in the shadow of the continent's largest mountains, which those of you who are eagle-eyed may be able to spot on the map that we made 3 years ago. Woo! We've never been there. We're bringing it in now. No apparent reason.
No, yes, this is what I like. Build the
okay,
lore.
Yes, the monsters are actually the humans, right? That's who we're hunting.
Yes.
You'll have to find out. The shadow of the mountains skims the edge of Garomaris as the sun begins to light up its narrow buildings and metallic streets. Currently, it forms a barrier between Vecina and the great forest beyond it. The perfect place to stock up on supplies of both natural and civilized origin. The trek across the mountains will be an arduous one, but the people of the First Hauler are nothing, if not hardy. So we have our setting, and as we zoom in towards the First Hauler, it is the shape of, correct me if I'm wrong, Am, it's basically a giant elephant, isn't it? Kind of horse-like elephant.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah. It's the shape of a giant elephant, and all of the streets are kind of higgledy-piggledy, up and down all over it. And it's almost like you can, it's almost like a futuristic, you know, when you get those like Blade Runner or Star Wars kind of streets where it's like there are 30 levels to them and they go
exactly
up and
that.
Down as easily as side
yeah.
to side. It's a little bit like that, but without all the flying things. And as we zoom in, we go right to one corner near the top where there's a particularly nice building where Toz and her brother Tor reside, and we zoom into one of the nice windows and find ourselves in a relatively decadent room inside. This room, the two of you will know very well. You spend quite a lot of time here because it is, for all intents and purposes, a classroom. This is where you do your studies, at least the ones that don't require you to be outside. And by the way, I have invented a kind of slight schooling system. If you guys are not happy with
that's
it, then
so
that is,
fun. No,
then
of course.
That is absolutely fine. But the way that I imagine that the two of you have kind of done your studies is in tandem with each other. I think you would have done some parts separate. But you essentially have three or four different teachers. It's not one teacher teaching you everything because there's different people with different specialisms. So you have one teacher, for example, who would teach you combat skills and things like how to exercise properly and look after your body and things like that. You've got another teacher who's focused on like scholarly pursuits and like writing and that sort of thing. But the particular teacher that meets you today, her name is Asnabel Greypike. She's a dwarf, and her job is to make sure that the two of you, once you come of age, will be upstanding citizens of Garomaris. Essentially, she teaches
it's a social studies class.
Etiquette.
Social studies, yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially. you would know about her that she did not originally come from Garomaris, but has served as an advisor to some of the leading nobles for a long time, so she's very up to date on the kind of culture of Garomaris. And I think it's up to you whether you think either of your characters would have found this out or at least assumed it. But you're pretty sure that your father put her in this position specifically because he wanted you both to have not only the education of the culture of Garomaris, but also have some insight from other cultures as well.
Yeah.
Because she's had been a bit of a traveled woman.
Yeah.
So that's who we see before us. And she has called you both into this classroom quite early this morning. It's unusual. You're not normally here this early because dawn is pretty much just breaking. And as the two of you enter, she puts a letter down that she was writing to the side and goes over to you and she goes, "Oh, hello, hello. Are you two all right? And not too early, I hope."
"Good morning, Miss Greypike."
"Morning."
Good morning to you, Toz. And Tor, good morning to you. I'm sorry for waking you up so early, but, well, it is a very important day. And her eyes sparkle a little bit, with almost a slight hint of mischief. As she says, "I have a task for you both." "We've been studying quite a lot here in the classroom, yes? And I'm sure you have been remembering your studies well." And she looks pointedly at Toz.
Grins back.
"But I think it's time you went out into the city. You know, really immerse yourselves in the culture of the city, not just up here, but down in the lower areas as well. Find out more about the people. Does that sound of interest to you both?
Yeah, I think that sounds really, really good, actually. Obviously, I am really enjoying the lessons, but, you know, I think it would be nice to go outside.
Of course.
For what purpose?
To learn more about the city.
But why?
Because the teacher
always said a sharp one there, Tor.
But if the teacher told you to jump off the side of the first hallway, you wouldn't do it, would you?
She pushes him gently.
Toz. No physical violence in my classroom.
Physical violence is really touching.
I do have a task for you. After all, the two of you will be at the service of the people one day. So what better time than to start now?
Right.
There is a noble that you may know. His name is Horatio Gwyn. Both of you... in fact, should we roll?
Oh!
Should we roll?
Yeah! Yay!
Should we roll
first
to
roll
see?
Of the game.
Well, you know.
First roll of the game.
About his name. I imagine this would be kind of investigate a mystery, I would say. I'm going to loosely use the moves here slightly because some of these questions won't pertain necessarily to this question, but go for it. For this, we didn't explain what Monster of the Week is while the guys are sorting out what they're rolling. But Monster of the Week is powered by the Apocalypse game. That means it uses a 2d6 system. Everybody has a load of stats and they have some general moves that they can use. There are basic moves that everybody can use. And then there's a couple of class-specific moves that each person has. The one we're doing now is investigate a mystery. So when you investigate a mystery, you roll plus sharp. That's one of the stats. If you get a 10 plus, and generally for any move, 10 plus is a really good success, then they get to ask two questions. If they get a 7 to 9, that's like a measured success, then they get to ask one, and lower than that is a fail. 12 plus is like super awesome, and some of these moves have an extra thing you can get if you get 12 plus. It's also standard practice, although less so in Monster of the Week, but it's standard practice in these kind of games to kind of have, if you roll 7 to 9, there's like a kind of mitigating circumstance. So you might succeed, but you expose yourself to danger or something, or I get to do something fun. You know, that sort of thing. So yeah. How are you rolling, guys?
I got a 5.
Oh!
Good start, Tor.
Is that including your modifiers?
Yeah, it's including my modifier.
That is absolutely hilarious.
I'm glad for my girl, honestly.
You're not beating the allegations.
That's more like it.
8 plus my sharp, which is, quickly referring to my character sheet, 1. 9.
Brilliant.
Aww,
so,
one sharp.
Toz, the name Horatio Gwyn could not mean anything to you. You have absolutely no idea who that is. You're sure that you must have been introduced to him at some point, but you get introduced to a lot of people. You can't be expected to remember all of their names.
If he doesn't know anything about combat and is not an important soldier, there's no reason for me to remember him.
Yeah, God forbid you have more than one interest. I don't know why he's Australian. It's my other character on RWD is Australian.
Yeah.
And Ams is Scottish.
Ams is Scottish.
You should listen to RWD.
God forbid you have more than one interest.
So Tor, you do recognise his name. Do you want to ask any of those questions that are on the list, or would you rather me just kind of tell you something?
I mean, I think the most relevant one is, what sort of creature is it, I guess?
Yeah, that would work. We'll reflavour it for who is it. So Horatio Gwyn.
He asks in that exact tone. He says, what sort of creature is it about a person?
We're getting such an insight into Tor.
A small frown from Miss Greypike there. She says, she doesn't say. You already know that Horatio Gwyn is a Loxodon noble. A relatively minor one, but has enough money and power to kind of be always there at like parties and things, so he's not involved in the government particularly, but he does have a lot of friends in the government, so you've seen him around, you've definitely been introduced to him, but the most words you would have exchanged is maybe some like small pleasantries once or twice, nothing more substantial than that. But you know he's a businessman, essentially.
He'll be in the House of Commerce then?
Yes.
Okay.
He has a slight problem that I think might be a good one for people of your skills to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think you should go and see him. He's here, he's stayed overnight. Visiting somebody in the building. I don't know. He's always visiting someone. But he's down in the bedrooms, in the corridors in the bedrooms, one of those. I'm sure I can take it to him. But first, it would be remiss of me to send you on your own. After all, you're very important people, aren't you? So, forgive me for doing this ahead of time. But, and she kind of looks like... almost like a giddy schoolgirl as she gets kind of excited about this plan that she's put together. And she goes, I've hired you a team. And she looks at you expectantly with a big smile on her
face. Ooh, that sounds nice. Tajia is like imagining like very boring old friends of her father's or mother's that she has nothing to talk about with, who will not let her do anything fun.
Aww. Miss Braypike right. just winks at you and strides over to one of the doors to the room. So you guys came.
We just all been standing behind the door waiting for our entrance.
Yeah, it goes into the closet and we all fall out. Yeah,
I was gonna ask you guys who you think would have arrived first, but if you want them all to arrive together, you can.
No, Rupert has their ear up against the door very clearly. Like, they kind of fall through it, like it's very clear they've been listening at the door.
Aww.
So, Miss Greypike basically told you all to arrive here at dawn, so she is expecting at least one of you to be here at dawn, and so strides over to the sort of outer door, so the two of you, Toz and Tor, came in kind of through the there's like an inner door and an outer door, so the inner one is to like the part of the building where you guys live and it's more private, and then there's an outer door that is kind of like the more public facing side of the room, and she goes to open that, and yes, Rupert falls straight through, ear against the door,
big locks on ear.
Hello there, Rupert, it's nice to see
hello,
you.
Hello, Miss Greypike.
Come on in.
I'm like looking around the room suspiciously, kind of eyeing Ms. Greypike, and then I wave at Toz and Tor.
Oh, Rupert, hello.
Hello. Have you caught my latest edition of the Truth Teller?
Yes.
No.
I loved it.
Are you sure?
Blatantly lying. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I particularly liked the art and the prunes.
I thought you would appreciate a team of, well, people your own age.
I really do. Thank you so much.
It was very thoughtful of you.
Isla and Seamus, do you think you guys would arrive at a similar time, or would you?
Well, I don't know if we established. Are we roommates?
What, me and Isla?
oh my god, they were roommates.
Are we roommates?
We did discuss that.
I vaguely remember discussing it.
Can we be roommates?
We can be roommates.
Yay! This is just like living my dream of living with Ariel.
bold choice.
Bold choice of the week is about escapism and fantasy and realizing your fantasies. My fantasy is just having a nice flatmate.
Aww. I think Isla did turn up on time and then got distracted and is and is off doing something else quickly.
I think I think she probably told Seamus to go on ahead, right?
Yeah, she was like, she was outside the door and she was like, wait, I've got to go do something. Stay here, I'll be back in 2 minutes. And then ran off.
I think Seamus has been sort of dutifully, like, looking out for her.
Miss Greypike kind of waves you in, Seamus, and she's like, Seamus, welcome. Where is your wingmate?
Ayla is not here yet.
Oh.
She will be a moment.
Well, that's good to know. Come on in, meet the others.
She told me to wait here.
Oh, well, you can come in now, it's okay. She'll be able to come in when she's ready.
Don't worry, we don't bite.
That was not my main concern. Now I am concerned about that.
What was your main concern?
No, it's fine. I've never bitten anybody.
I probably have when I was a baby.
Hmm? Oh, probably.
I probably bit someone when I was a baby.
You bite me, I assure
you. That's if you ever were a baby.
I do not taste good. I am made of wood and also metal.
Well, anyway.
We know.
As we just established that you probably haven't caught the latest issue of The Truth Teller, while we're waiting for Isla to return.
I think at this point, Isla runs through the door.
Oh, Isla! You're here. Great.
Isla. Sorry, there was a thing. It's not important. It wasn't actually what I thought it was. It's fine.
Isla, were you running in the corridors?
No, walking quickly.
Miss Greypack kind of shakes her head and decides not to pursue this particular avenue as she sort of turns to all of you and goes, fantastic, we're all here. Tars and Tor, I believe you all know each other, yes? Unless I've made some calculations wrong.
No, this is very, very good. I mean, she kind of looks around. I think we know everyone, right?
I do, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
I believe I have made the acquaintance of everyone here.
Then I shall forego the usual introductions. This is fantastic. It is lovely to see you all. Now, as I have told Tos and Tor, I have a task for you all. Specifically, Horatio has a task for you all. I will take you to him. He's just downstairs. Come with me. And she beckons you to follow her as she kind of marches off down the corridor.
And Rupert, like, writes some stuff down in his notebook. Their notebook, sorry.
I follow.
Yeah.
So, you guys march your way through the corridors, and you go down a flight of stairs and end up at a kind of corridor full of bedrooms, essentially. It's like the guest corridor, guest bedrooms for diplomats and people of importance. And she leads you all to one of those doors and has a very soft, polite knock 3 times on the door, no more, no less. Thank you very much.
I'm cutting my editing time in half.
There's a slight pause as you are all kind of awkwardly waiting outside this one door, and then it opens slowly to reveal a large Loxodon man with beady eyes and half moon spectacles, and he's wearing like a waistcoat and trousers, like, so he's dressed up, but you know, he's kind of casual. He's trying to show that he's business casual, you know.
Sus.
That's the vibe you get anyway. And he looks at you all and goes, oh, good morning. Everyone, it's me, Chloe. I hope that you enjoy listening to our story just as much as we enjoy telling it. If you do, please consider supporting us monetarily so that we can continue to make the awesome content that you enjoy. The best way to do this is by joining our Patreon, where you can get access to rewards such as a shout out on the podcast, DM notes from Ellie, the opportunity to name an NPC, and much more. You'll also get access to our super cool patron-only Discord. You can find that at patreon.com/deckofmanyaces. Of course, if you don't want to give money every month, you can always make a one-time donation to our supporter Acast link, which can be found at supporter.acast.com/deckofmanyaces. Our content is free to access and always will be. But anything that you can give is greatly appreciated, as it helps us to grow and improve the podcast and give our cast a little something for their time and effort. And if you don't want to or can't give us any money right now, hey, you're still super uber mega cool because you're listening to us. Today's promo is for Cosmopunk, the actual play homebrew Starfinder podcast with rotating GMs based in the UK. Follow the misadventures of the Laker 7, a crew of disenfranchised alien mercs living on the lawless outskirts of Paizo's Starfinder universe. There are new episodes every other Thursday. You can find them wherever you find your podcasts or on Twitter at CosmopunkPod. Roll the trailer!
Hey, did you know you can upgrade the reactor on our ship to a toroidal Series 3 turbofan model?
No.
I mean, it's only slightly exploded. Look.
No. Ladies, we've got a job.
Oh, thank God. I don't care what it is. Just please stop beating my engines.
It's some kind of advertising job for our Cosmopunk show, it looks like. But it's got to be quick. Can't be anything longer than 50 seconds.
Flyboy, set a timer for 50 seconds.
No, we've already started. The timer's going to mean a damn thing.
Oh, it'll give us a rough idea.
Hang on, I didn't agree to be in an advert.
Well, it's too late. You're already in it. Besides, it'll be over by the time you get your fat coyote butt out of the room.
Hey, you're fatter than I am.
Oh, stop arguing, you lot. I'll do it. Cosmopunk is a Starfinder actual play podcast focusing on character-driven storytelling. We're four friends from the UK, and occasionally more than four friends from not the UK. We play homebrew stories for the crew of the Laika 7 set in Paizo's Starfinder universe. Follow the adventures of four alien mercs as we get into trouble in the vast outer space. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and check us out at cosmopunk.net.
Wow. That was actually really good.
Is this the team you promised me? Yes, this is them. This is... You've already met Toz and Tor, of course. And their friends.
Hello, sir. I'll do a proper, like, a formal bow.
Yes, he formally bows back at you.
Tor rolls his eyes at Toz being a suck-up.
Very nice to see you both again. And the rest of you, very nice to make your acquaintance. I'm so happy you'll be able to help me. You see, why don't you come in? Beckons you into the door where you go into the bedroom. It's one of those, like, almost slightly old-fashioned type bedrooms where there's, like, there is a big bed, but there's also, like, a couple of chairs and a table, like a little reception-y kind
Cute.
Of area. That he kind of... There's not enough chairs for all of you. There's, like, three. But he does kind of gesture to them helplessly and is like, sit there.
Shavis will stand.
I help myself to a chair.
Well... I have a slight problem that, as Nivelle here, promised me he'd be able to find out some information for me. You may know I am a business owner of some renown. I own plenty of shops here in Garamars.
Yes, you do. Quite a lot of shops, in fact.
Yes, it's a very hard business being in the owning shops.
I'm sure.
I'm sure there's a word for that, but right now I can't think of what it
Businessman?
Is.
Businessman?
yeah, that's, I think there's no word for it. He's just like, oh, business is so hard. But you see, I have a lot of shops and I can't manage all of them myself, so I usually employ people to do that for me. And that's exactly what I've done with this particular shop. It's a curiosity shop. One of the smaller businesses I own.
How many individual citizens of Garamars do you exploit for their labour in this shop?
Oh my god.
I hit Rupert hard in the leg, but they can't see, like, very subtly. Being like, just shut up.
He just blinks at you and then it ignores you. He's mostly addressing Toz and Tor here and ignoring the rest of you. As he continues and says, this curiosity shop is... Well, I haven't heard from the manager in a few days. It's not a major problem. Sometimes they go dark for a little bit, but I haven't received their payment either. And, well, you know, don't want to let that one slide for too long. Might get ideas, you know. So I I'd appreciate if you could just go down and find out for me. Find out what's going on. Recover the payment if you can.
Out of character, so Chloe, our adventure is to go and press gang the taxes out of this shop.
We're just the debt collectors.
We are bailiffs. We're tiny teenage bailiffs. Teenage ninja bailiffs.
You made the society.
Yeah, touche.
My brother in Christ, you made the society.
We live in a society.
Is that okay. Something you think you could do for me?
Absolutely, sir.
Oh, fantastic. I will be so very gracious for your help.
Rupert is writing down everything that Horatio has been saying verbatim in their own personalised shorthand code that no one else knows how to read.
Brilliant.
I'm sure there's a perfectly reasonable explanation.
Why are you asking us in particular to do this? I feel like there might be some people who are more capable of this kind of a task.
Well, Asnabel was looking for something for Taz and Tor to do, and, well, this seemed like a good choice. Something in service to the people.
Okay.
To business as well. A win-win.
Yeah.
And besides, it's not like we're asking you to go out and fight on the plains of battle, are we? Although, and he kind of grins at Taz, I'm sure you'd be well happy to do that.
is there any more information that we need, or are we just go shop, find out what happened?
Well, I'll give you the address of the shop, and he gives you an address. Anyone that's ever played with me before will know I never make up fantasy addresses.
Why would you, man? Why would you?
That's just, yeah, that's an excuse to get everyone lost.
You guys just know where to go.
What am I saying? That is just an invitation to get confused between what the addresses are.
Yeah. And he continues and he says, the proprietor, his name is Tyon Ashcott. He's the one you'll be wanting to speak to. I usually hear from him every couple of days, just a little update. I get the profits from the shop every month, but the date's gone by and it's only a couple of days. I'm not too worried, but it'd be good to know what's going on. And I'm just so busy here.
Are you concerned for his safety?
His safety? Well, oh my dear. It's simply a shop in the lower levels of Garamaris. What could be going wrong that his safety would be in danger?
Oh, well, there's all sorts of things going down on in the lower levels. All sorts of things. Maybe Tyon Ashcott stumbled across something he wasn't supposed to know. Maybe he found out how they're really powering this city.
Yes, Rupert, I'm sure he did.
With the gristle of insufferable people.
It's funny for you, good job.
Shut up.
Horatio kind of side eyes to Miss Greypipe for a second and frowns at her, and she just shrugs. Well, anyway, is there anything else that you think you'd need to ask of Mr. Gwyn?
No.
Fantastic. And my dears, I do appreciate this is an unusual assignment, but, well, just go and find out what's happened. Recover that payment if you can, and if not, we'll simply come back and tell us what's happened, and we'll figure something out. All right?
Paul's kind of puts her hand on a hammer that is far too big for her. Because she hasn't had a growth spurt yet. And she's like, we'll get the money back.
Taz, you can't hit the proprietor to get the money back.
What if the proprietor attacks us?
Well, in that case, the rules would dictate then yes, you can.
Okay, good to know.
But don't make the first blow, is all I'm saying. It would look bad.
I know, never make the first blow.
Typical ruling class presumptuousness. Why do you assume that the proprietor is the bad guy?
I don't assume the proprietor is the bad guy. I just like to hit things.
That's true.
Before we go, Mr. Gwyn, here, on the house, a complimentary copy of my latest edition of the Truth Teller. It has got all sorts of political news. It's got the latest gossip. It's got my new discoveries regarding the truth about Guy Maris's path. What don't you wonder why we're here specifically? I've figured it out. I've done the maths. If you chart Guy Maris's position for the last 200 years on this map, and then you account for the inverse curvature of the Earth.
I'm physically linking my arm with Rupert's and leading
him
out of the
room. Good for you.
I've connected the dots!
Mr. Gwyn somehow manages to narrow his eyes and raise his eyebrows at the same time and kind of gingerly takes it from you before you get dragged away and is kind of holding it with between his forefinger and thumb like some kind of like dirty underwear and staring at it.
Very silly.
How do you know the truth teller has really good circulation? It's like 20 entire readers.
Yeah, Toz has dragged you out of the room.
Oh no, I'm just stating this for the audience.
You're out back into the corridor and Miss Greypike turns to Toz and Tor and says to you both,
why don't you two go to your rooms and get all your equipment, get ready. I'm just going to have a quick word with the others, if that's okay.
Right, come on, Tor. They go to get their stuff ready.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tor.
Yeah, I was confused for a second.
Yeah.
They're Tor and Toz. The one letters apart. Names are hot.
Oh, God, they probably get called each other's names so often.
All the time. Blame their parents.
Yeah, their parents are not imaginative people.
The two of you go back to gather your things whilst Miss Greypike turns to the rest of you and says, right, you remember our initial agreement, yes? You're here to protect them, keep an eye on them, make sure everything's all happy and normal. Yes?
Cool.
Why wouldn't it be?
Of course. Oh, I just, you know, sometimes I worry. Particularly Toz, that she might do things like hit first, you know.
Rest assured that if Tozia gets us in a difficult spot, I am very, very strong.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
And also potentially do not experience adverse effect in the same way.
That doesn't mean that you should be sacrificing your own physical health if Tozia is putting herself in harm's way.
No?
That's Tozia's job.
Oh. These are contradictory points of view.
Well, but we will do our best to ensure that everything is fine.
Yes. But if it isn't, I have my big sword.
Of course. All I ask, of course, is just, well, they're both very important, and I'd prefer it if we could keep them out of harm's way, but particularly out of anything incriminating or unpleasant for the noble houses, you know.
Oh, if there's anything incriminating happens, I will certainly intervene, and I will definitely not take notes.
Of course, Rupert, yes.
Because that would be bad for the ruling class's reputation.
Yes, Rupert.
And of course I absolutely love the ruling class's reputation. I just really want to protect the monarchy and the ruling class.
Rupert, stop.
I can roll plus sharp to manipulate someone. I've got a class.
Maybe don't.
If you want to, do it.
Yeah, I have one of the flake features is see it all fits together. You could use sharp instead of charm when you manipulate someone.
Nice. What are you asking her
Believe
to do?
Believe me that I will definitely look out for Tozzy's best interest.
Oh, jeez.
Sure.
Definitely not writing it all down for the newspaper. I rolled 8 plus 2, 10.
Fantastic. On a 10 plus, they'll do it, the thing you ask them to do, for the reason you gave them. If you ask too much, they'll tell you the minimum it would take them for them to do it. Well, this is not too much.
This is not really that that important a move, but
no, yeah. But, hey, we like rolling dice. Yeah, she kind of gives you. When you first start talking, she kind of gives you a slightly suspicious glance, but as you continue, she kind of nods, like, happily, as if she's saying, yes, well, this one understands, kind of thing. And looks satisfied with your response. Well then, shall we meet the others by the entrance?
That sounds good.
Sure, all right. Let's go.
So, those of you all find yourselves at the entrance to Pozentor's home. Wait, remind me, or Will, if you know, what is the place where you live? It's like it's a palace, right? Correct? Some kind of palace?
It's like a tower, I think, because there's a bunch of ruling class families in Gaimaris. It's less that like there's a palace, and more that like there are hubs of each house across the city. And people who work for them or are part of the collective house kind of live at different levels within those towers.
This particular one, I'd say, is definitely less palatial and more practical in terms of its design.
Fantastic. So you find yourselves at the entrance to this tower, out into the streets of Garamaris, which are open to the elements, but some of them are very internal, so even though they're open to the elements, you kind of don't feel like you're outside. But this particular place, you are definitely outside, because you're right on one of the corners. And Miss Greypike gives you a wave, and she goes, good luck, everyone! I hope to hear from you soon.
Thanks, Miss.
Thumbs up.
She gives you a thumbs up back.
Can you do a thumb? You're an elephant.
She has a posable thumb, she can hold a warhammer.
And with a slightly worried look, she closes the door.
As we sort of head out of the gate, Tor looks up and sees a statue of their mother and Francis.
Buzz is kind of going to keep an eye on him, but it's not going to be anything about that. Right, so, shop. Yes. Do I know where the address? I look at the address. Do I know where it is?
Yes, it's in one of the lower levels of Garamaris, so it's relatively far from where you guys are right now.
Ah, so Horatia Gwyn just didn't want to walk all the way down.
Yeah, that's the vibe you get.
I love that. That's so true. That's like we are DoorDash, but for collecting bailiff. Like, late payments.
Yeah.
Well, Rupert already had to walk halfway up, so...
Yeah. Oh.
Why would Horatio Gwyn go down to the lower levels where the poor people live?
So instead he sends children to do the thing.
Yes. They're like 15, that's basically an adult.
I'm gonna kind of turn to the others and I'll be like... Tor is 12.
Yeah. So is Seamus. Seamus has is probably taller than all of you because it has like an adult body, but is very much 12 years old.
Yeah. I'll try to turn to the others and I'll be like, so I mean, we can usually get a kind of little motorized. It's like what I'm imagining is like a like a tuk-tuk or like a bike with a sort of place for people to ride in the back is usually how they would get around. But Tor's like, so I guess we could ask the staff if we can get one of them. But I suppose it's not very. But this is us practicing service to the city, so I guess we shouldn't be using those, right?
We can go and pay a normal person who like you don't have to get you can just flag one down and pay them.
Do you
money.
Think? We all walk everywhere?
I don't know. My school and where I live and where I practice how to fight are all in one building.
It's true.
My mother used to drive those, like, for a living.
As you're having this conversation, you see at least two or three kind of whizzing past you, close to you and also in the distance down the street. They're everywhere.
Great. Well then, you must be really good at healing them, Rupert, so why don't you take a crack at it?
I stick my thumb out. Actually, no, but Loxodon, we're going to stick our trunks out, aren't we?
Yeah!
Yes! Fantastic!
We're going to stick the trunk out in the kind of pre-standard hailing a taxi pose.
You stick your trunk out, and almost like those comedy films where it's like, follow that car moment, one of these little... Did you say they were like tuk-tuks?
Yeah, but like slightly bigger because Loxodon size.
Yeah, one of these big tuk-tuks just skids to a stop in front of you. Within like inches of your trunk, and the bored-looking driver kind of sits there and looks at the how many of you are there? I can't even count.
Five.
Looks at the five of you and is a bit like sighs, and then gets off and tiredly walks around the back, where he undoes some kind of latch or something and pulls the back wheels so that it extends out to be twice as big to fit five people
in
it.
That's so cool.
That is cool.
Jump it's in. Like concertinering out.
Whoa.
I hand him 5 gold.
Oh my god.
He takes the gold and his bored face suddenly looks a little bit more shocked and he
Rupert
goes,
rolls her eyes.
She's never understood money in her life.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll take you anywhere you want to go.
I will hand him the address.
Oh. He kind of frowns, looks a bit confused, and goes, all right then.
And you're off, whizzing through the streets of Garamaris. It's difficult in a vehicle like this because it's not like our kind of cities where all of the streets are just flat. So on quite, because you're going quite far down as well, there's quite a few occasions where they have to kind of get into an industrial-sized lift. And down a level, there's like a couple of you know when you go in those car parks where there's like really windy, spirally entrance or exit.
Yeah.
There's one of those, there's just various. It's very higgledy-piggledy, like the whole. But I mean, I'm fully like this is your city, so if I'm describing it in a way that you're like that's not right, please tell me. But I imagine it being like all of these different kind of mechanical ways of moving around. There's not
exactly,
one specific
yes.
thing. They're all just kind of tacked on.
It's like, you know, if you're like the inside of a machine and the gears are all kind of like moving all the time.
Yeah.
Like it's, the streets are just like that.
Yeah, there's one that's literally you just kind of drive onto it and then stop and the whole thing just kind of swivels around until you have to drive off of it on the bottom level and it just keeps spinning like a spinny door. All of those kind of things. And eventually you, as you go further down, you start to see those, the buildings get closer and closer together, the windows get and the doors getting smaller and smaller, the streets getting slightly more dusty.
It's probably be a lot less light, right? Because it's physically below.
Yeah, there's a lot less light.
Yep.
Yeah. They're about halfway down, the street lamps that you're kind of used to are near the top of the hauler are just permanently on. And they start to light up as you go down until we're down into the lower levels of Garamaris. And there's pretty much no daylight. It's pretty much just these street lamps. And the tuk-tuk driver drops you guys off in an area that is actually quite close to the edge of the city. So you start off in the darkness, but when you end up being dropped off, you get there's a tiny bit more daylight coming in, but it's kind of hard to tell because the buildings are so close together. There's actually not a lot of openings, but there seems to be a couple here and there. So it's a tiny bit.
You can can set up quite a bit with mirrors to get light into a space if you're clever about it.
Mm.
At least further in than it would have within just windows.
They don't care about that.
Yeah, they haven't been.
Who's got the money for that though?
Mm.
Yeah. This is a bit like a full moonlit night, so it's like there's bright enough to kind of see, but it's still dark. And yeah, they drop you off in this area and then turn to you and say, I can't get to the shop with the vehicle, but if you just follow that street down there and go to the right a bit and just keep following it, and then there's like a twisty turny bit. And once you get through the twisty turny bit, it'll be there. There's like a little square, a few shops.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, sir.
You're very welcome. Anytime. They are wearing a flat cap and they tip the flat cap and drive off.
I say thanks. Sorry, I say thanks before they drive off.
No, I think Rupert says thanks as they drive
yeah.
off.
Yeah, that's the vibe I get too.
I have just now, and I can't believe I did this just now, I've just now remembered that two of you have moves that we were supposed to roll at the beginning of each mystery. I do this every single time I run this game.
Well, now is a good time, right? Because, like, we haven't really
Let's
started
go with now.
The mystery yet.
Yeah, yeah, we haven't got into
this
it.
This is the start of the mystery.
Yeah. This is the, everything else was set up.
Yeah. We have Destiny's Plaything from Am's playbook, The Chosen, which means at the beginning of each mystery, she has to roll plus weird to see what is revealed about her immediate future. We also have one from Will's playbook, The Initiate, which doesn't have a name for some bizarre reason, but it does require you to be in good standing with your sect. Would you say that's true?
I think at this point it is, yeah. He's very low down in the sect, but I can't see why he would be... I can't see why he wouldn't be in good standing, I suppose.
Yeah,
For now.
Yeah, it's not anything to do with how high up you are, it's just, like, as long as you're not in trouble, basically.
Sure.
yeah, so you can roll plus charm, and they may help you with the mystery.
I have bad charm.
I have minus one weird. What a pair
no.
we are.
No.
So, starting with Toz and Am, what are you rolling? Wait, I've lost your character sheet. Where is it? There it is. Roll plus weird.
I rolled a 9.
Ooh.
A 9. Okie dokie. So, on a 7 to 9, you get a vague hint about your immediate future. So, Toz, you, as you're kind of going along in the tuk-tuk, and you know that kind of feeling you get when you're on a journey, like you're kind of poodling along and the motion kind of makes you a bit sleepy?
Oh, yeah.
You're kind of almost asleep, but you're not quite asleep. So you feel a little bit like that at a point in the tuk-tuk. And you get just a sensation of a slight foreboding sensation that something is here that shouldn't be.
A slight sense of unease and dread is not out of the ordinary for my girl.
Yeah, but this one's a bit different. Like, your normal sense of unease and dread, you know that very well. This one seems to be originating from somewhere else. specifically, the direction that you're heading. As if there's something here that belongs somewhere else.
I will very gently pat Tor's shoulder at that feeling.
Cool. So that's your immediate future.
Love that.
This is why I love this game. Also, a fun thing about the Chosen playbook, which is absolutely wild because I've had to play it before, is technically speaking, rules as written, Toz cannot die.
Honestly, low-key, this is why I picked the book, the Chosen playbook, because I was like, she lives to the main campaign, so she can't die.
I've had to do like a Deus Ex DM before where like we played a, like in my home game, we played a one shot and the character, like one of the characters was for the main campaign and she straight up died. And I had to be like, the fairy court has decided that it's not your time yet. You're alive again.
Yeah, so there's actually built into The Chosen is literally you can't die until you've done the thing you're destined to do, essentially. Oh, wow.
Which is in the main campaign.
Or you use up all your luck.
The legendary anecdote on the internet or something about someone who did a prequel campaign, and in that prequel one-shot or whatever, there was an entire mountain that did not exist in the main campaign.
I've seen that, yeah.
And the players were all excited to find out what happened to the mountain. Yeah.
Got exploded.
So,
anyway, sorry.
Tor, would you like to roll your charm?
Yeah, I rolled a 7 total.
Nice.
Charm applied.
Now on a 7 to 9, you get a mission associated with the mystery. And if you do it, you'll get some info or help too.
Yeah.
So, Tor, we're going to flashback slightly here before to the evening before, where you actually received a note via Carrier Raven to your window. And this note said to you that there was something going on in the lower levels that had displaced people from a certain block of buildings. Something that they thought you were not going to be told about, or that you wouldn't hear about, wouldn't reach you up where you are. And this note tells you that if you can go and help these people and fix whatever it is that has displaced them, that you may be more accepted into Umsak.
Okay. Is there any method by which I can communicate like acceptance, or not really?
Well, the Carrier Ravens brought you this note, so that can be sent back. So it's up to you whether you would have done that straight away, or whether you would have kind of secreted it away on your person somehow.
Okay. I'll just write accepted on the back of the note and send it back with a pigeon.
Brilliant.
You said it was a pigeon, right? I'm not.
Raven.
Raven.
It's a raven. It's a carrier raven, which in our world are robots.
It's a mechanical raven.
Right. Okay then.
Yeah, it's a robot.
Well, I'll send it back with the carrier.
Yeah. Brilliant. So yeah, if you manage to do it, then these people may help you. That's fun. That's fun, considering that I said to Will, I was like, I'm probably not going to bring them in too much because I don't know anything about them. Here we go!
Tee-hee!
Yep.
It's improv time.
Neither do I, so this is going to be really fun for me. I've got like a little notes document open, like, ha ha.
Tee-hee.
Yeah, is this sector secret? I mean, like, to us?
Hmm. Oh yeah, none of you know. As far as I'm aware, Will.
Except Seamus, as previously discussed.
Yes. Yes, Seamus is aware.
Yep.
Because of backstory reasons, teehee.
All will be revealed in due course in the narrative. Let's play the game.
Let's play the game. So, you follow the instructions of the tuk-tuk driver. You follow down the streets. Everything seems relatively normal to start with. But then, most of you are not really used to this area of Garamara. So you guys live a lot further up, whether it's Toz and Tor right at the top, or the rest of you maybe a little bit further down. That's up to your individual characters. But so you're not fully aware of what life usually is like down here. But there's, you know, the odd couple of people wandering around. Everything seems normal. And then as you get to the kind of twisty-turny bit that they spoke about, everything feels a little bit weird. There seems to be a quiet to it that wasn't there before, and it kind of happens gradually. And as you get further down this twisty, windy path, you see a couple doors just open. Buildings that appear to have been abandoned. And as you round the final corner, you see something that really does not fit in a mechanical city of Garamaris. You see the buildings either side of the street have vines and branches and leaves twisting out of the smashed windows and through the contorted doors and seem to be reaching out towards you.
Many Aces is Am Chisholm, Chloe Elliott, Ariel Evans, Katie McLeod, and me, Ellie Webster. Many thanks to our patrons, Nate Scott Jones, Ouroboros, EK Green, Space Ben, Callum D, Ebad, KP, and Still a Piece of Garbage. If you want to join them or find out more about what different rewards we offer, head to patreon.com/deckofmanyaces. If you'd like to leave us a review, please do so on the podcast platform of your choice. If your podcast platform doesn't have a review system, then you can use our Podchaser page. We read every review and it means the world to us. If you want to chat to us on socials, it's at Deck of Many Aces on pretty much every social media you can think of. Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, Blue Sky, Hive. We've got all of them. Give us a bell on any of those, or if you want to send us an email the old-fashioned way, it's deckofmanyaces@gmail.com. If you love the music from the show, you can check it out. It's on Chloe Elliott's Bandcamp. You can also search for any of the original soundtrack albums just by searching Deck of Many Aces in most music streaming platforms. If you want to find us elsewhere, there's lots of places on the internet you can do so. You can find both Am and Chloe on Rendezvous with Destiny, our sister podcast. Am also runs a podcast with Will called Date Night Drive-In. And Chloe can be found on Twitch at Chloe_withtheflow. As for me, I've not got much out on the internet these days, but if you would like to support me or would like to hear more about what I'm doing in the creative sphere, have a little look at the episode description and click the sign up to my mailing list link. I'll never spam your inbox, it's usually an email every month or two, just to kind of let you know what I'm doing, what projects are in your area or online that I'm getting involved with, and how you can support me as an artist. If you'd like to support the podcast, obviously the Patreon we've mentioned earlier. If you just want to support us with a one-off donation, you can go to our Acast supporter link. That's supporter.acast.com/deckofmanyaces with dashes between the words. That's all from me. I love you. Have an ace week. Bye.